good to see you in God's house tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. And I want to thank the church real quickly tonight. I'll be leaving out in the morning and doing a meeting down in Troy, North Carolina, starting tomorrow night. But a real joy to be able to be with Brother Craig. He and I go back a long time. And a real joy to be able to be with him tonight and be back here at Fellowship. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight. And today was an interesting day for me. I left out this morning, and my daughter will be 16 next month. Well, today was her first day of driving an automobile in driver's ed. And so my wife's texting me the whole time, and every time the light blinks on my phone, I'm going, oh, Lord, here it goes. She's run into something. And a little concerned, but she made it home okay. And by the time I got over here, and she said, Daddy, I love driving. I said, don't get so used to it. Hallelujah. You got a ways to go yet. But anyway, I'll tell you what, she's the only child. That makes a daddy nervous. I'm not kidding you. And but anyway, it's hard to believe. I remember the first time I met Brother Edwards. I'll never forget this. I was up at Shining Light Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, years ago. And I was a young preacher just getting started out. And you know how it is when you're a young preacher getting started out? You know everything. I mean, there's nothing you don't know. You know it all. You got it all figured out, you know, and you're getting started off. And I was sitting on the back row of the church, and Brother Hinkle Little got up to sing a song, and the song he was singing is I'll Die on the Battlefield. And when he got up to sing that song, there was people just shouting and praising God and enjoying the Lord, and the fellow on the row in front of me jumped up on the pew and started shouting and waving his hands and walking back and forth. And I leaned over to the fellow beside of me and I said to him, I'll tell you right now, I'll never act like that. And about a month later, I was one of them. Amen? You say, why was that so funny? That fellow was Brother Craig Edwards. Amen? I'll never forget, some time later, I was preaching for Brother Rayton Puckett, and Brother Craig was moderating that meeting. And he asked me to get up and said, Brother Chris, you got 5 minutes. And praise God, I hit the pulpit running. 4.5 minutes later, I was soaking wet, had a good time. Didn't say a whole lot, but I said it fast. Amen? And so it's a real joy to be with you tonight. We just came out of a jubilee at our church. I've been in meeting just about all last week and preached twice Sunday, then drove down today. And just a real joy to be with you. Brother Bob, Brother Joe Arthur on the way down called me, told me, tell you hello and behave yourself. Yeah, I guess you know what that means. So, Brother Joe, I want to let you know. Let's all stand together tonight. Exodus chapter number 13, if you would, please. Exodus chapter number 13 tonight. And I want you to look with me at verse number 17 of Exodus chapter number 13. And I just want to share something with you that God put on my heart yesterday. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Again, Pastor, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come. And always enjoy being around you. I love your wonderful spirit. And everybody's so kind walking in the door. It's good when folks in North Carolina. I love churches in North Carolina. I was preaching in Florida just a few weeks ago. Then I stopped in Georgia. Then I got back to North Carolina. You know what I'm finding out? I like churches in North Carolina. Now, I was in a great jubilee in Florida. The pastor was down with us last week. But there's just something about North Carolina churches. I don't know what it is, but there's something about the people there. They're not any better than anywhere else. It's just something about people in North Carolina I enjoy being around. Maybe because I'm from here, but I enjoy getting back to churches like Fellowship and enjoy being a part of this meeting. Thank you for allowing me to come, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight. Verse 17 of chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, please. Verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I want to stop right there tonight and go back, and I want to grab a hold of a phrase that you find in the verse 17 that I've read. Well, the Bible says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. I want to preach with the help of God tonight on this thought. The long way around. The long way around. And God says here in Exodus that the people of God are being led in a direction that God is leading them, but it is not the nearest direction. He is leading them in a way that's longer than they could have went. It's longer than they could have gotten to their destination, but God is leading them the long way around. And so tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach on the long way around. Let's bow together and pray. Father, I thank You so much tonight for the opportunity to be able to be at Fellowship Baptist Church this evening. Lord, I appreciate tonight the invitation. I appreciate tonight God being around the men of God and the people of God here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, You give this church just a great camp meeting this week. And Lord, I pray You just stir and move. And Lord, we'll thank You for that. Lord, I pray tonight You'll touch this message and Brother Craig and touch the singing. And God, I pray tonight that when we leave, no one will say anything about what a choir or what a church or what a preacher or what a singer. But God, may someone leave tonight and cry, what a Savior. Lord, we do thank You, God, tonight for the wonderful opportunity to be able to bring Your message. Now, God, if You don't touch me, I'll be useless. And so, God, I pray tonight You'd help me preach, and I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. About a month ago, I walked inside of my church on a Sunday morning. When I walked inside on a Sunday morning, I walked up on the platform. Our associate pastor was leading the music. I was sitting down on the platform on the right-hand side. And as I looked across the auditorium, I began to notice some things. To my left in that auditorium was a 14-year-old young man. The first time that I saw him in this condition, he was 11. Now he's 14 years old. He was diagnosed with one of the most horrible types of cancer that any young person could ever go through. Matter of fact, the cancer has only been diagnosed 3 times by Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem. His parents were told he had a 46% chance of survival the first time. The second time the cancer came back, his percentage dropped down to 14% chance of survival. I looked over to that young man, saw him with a toboggan on. He had lost all of his hair, had been going through radiation and chemotherapy. As I continued to look through the church, I looked back over to the right. When I looked over to the right, there was a man in the back. Just called me that week while I was in a meeting on my cell phone and said, "Preacher, I want you to know that they diagnosed me with prostate cancer and they're concerned that it might be in my bones." And I remember him telling me that, and I saw him that morning. You could see in their face, his wife and his family, that they were heartbroken. I looked up on the front of the church that morning, and when I looked up on the front, there was a young couple in our church. She had just called me a few days prior from Baptist Hospital. Her son was born with a problem in his brain of not being able to get the fluid off of his head. And even though the doctors at Baptist had thought they'd done everything they could do, that young man was literally going through a terrible time. And his mom and dad were struggling with what they were going through. Now, the reason I tell you all of that tonight is this. These were not people that were just showing up at church occasionally. These were not people that were just folks in our church that just happened to every now and then to stop by. But these are families that are solid. Families that love God. Families that tithe and give to missions. Families that are faithful. And sometimes as a pastor, you look at people like that. And I know a fellow told me one time, he said, "Preacher, I don't believe you ought to make the statement that you've questioned God." I said, "Sir, you're wrong." I said, "The greatest one that ever lived on the face of this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of His cries from Calvary was, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" Friend, I don't try to act like I have all the answers. I know I don't have all the answers. But sometimes I'll have to
to be honest, when I'm looking at people going through things like that, I begin to wonder, God, why are they going through that? Lord, why do they have to face that? I know Brother Craig has lived that, and I know others of us have lived that, and we wonder, God, what are you doing? And it seemed like sometimes it would be so easy for God to go another direction. Now, I know you know much about the scripture that I'm reading tonight. You know the picture of the people of God in Egypt, and there are many things we could draw. You know that literally they were in slavery. They were in bondage, and God sent them a messenger. God sent them a man, and they were brought out of the land of Egypt. I like to look at that as a picture of my life. When God reached farther down than I could reach up, and God got me out of the slime and the mire of Egypt. Hey, can I say this? If God never does anything else for me, if He never answers another prayer, if He never meets another need, I still would have to stop right now and say, hallelujah, I'm glad that God got me out of Egypt and saved me by the grace of God. How about you tonight? Thank God tonight, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm glad God got me out of the slime pits of the world that I was in and saved me by the grace of God. But once God led those people out of Egypt, they began to encounter things in their life. And it wasn't long until God led them some directions where they encountered a Red Sea. Later on, they would encounter Philistines. Later on, they would encounter other things. But I want you to notice tonight that God had a plan and a purpose for the way He led them. And the way that He led them, understand tonight, was not the short route. It was not the easy way. It was not the way that they would have wanted it. Boy, I'll tell you what, we have a lot of folk that get saved in our church, and I praise God for that. And last night we were able to baptize 9 and had another teenage boy get saved during the morning service, and I thank God for that. But every time someone gets saved, I think about this. I think about, buddy, some of the devil's going to be on them so quickly. The first time they fail, the first time they come up to a trial, the first time they go through a battle, the first time they face something, the devil is going to come against them and say, hey, you were a whole lot better off when you were back in Egypt. I'm sure there's some pastors here tonight, and every one of us have heard this statement. Someone has come to you and said this, preacher, it seemed like it was easier for me before I got saved. It seemed like, preacher, I didn't fight near the battles before I got saved. Every one of us have had someone to say that to. It seemed like, preacher, before I got saved, I didn't listen. You know what I tell them? You're probably exactly right. Hey, before you got saved, you were a child of the devil. Before you got saved, the devil had you. But once you got saved by the grace of God, you become an enemy to him. He no longer is your friend. He never has been your friend. And he understands he's going to attack you and come against you every way he can. Nothing is as discouraging for a man of God as to watch people get saved and begin to grow and then run into some experience in their life and watch them as they fight that battle and begin to get away from God and wonder why they ever got in to start with. That's why I thank God. I tell people everywhere, when I meet the generation of people in their 60s and 70s and 80s and even 90s, and I get there sometime to preach with Brother Biddle and some other men that have been in this a long time, and I'm not even worthy to wipe the dust off their shoes and the years they put in and been faithful and stood true and been faithful to God, even though they may have not always been going the short route. Now back in your Bible it says, and I want to give you a few things here tonight and I'm done. Back in your Bible it says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Here's my thought tonight. Why did God so choose to take the people of God in the route that He took them in? Now there's one thing you and I know tonight. We know that God's ways are not our ways. We know that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We know that God has plans for us. And sometimes we may not see those plans. We may not know where those plans are going to lead. But we know that God doeth all things well. We know He's in control. We know He is sovereign. And we can count on the fact that God's in control. But let's be honest.
We always like to go the easiest route. We always like to go the shortest route. Some of y'all can relate to this. My dad's in heaven now. Back when I was a boy, we used to go on vacation. We'd go on vacation. My dad was the old school. He didn't want to look at the map. He didn't want my mother to tell him. And he didn't know what GPS was then anyway. And we'd go somewhere. And I mean, he'd go so far out of the way because he knew what he was doing. And you know, we'd say, Daddy, it's a whole lot shorter. I know what I'm doing. And I'd say, Daddy, we're not even going to have a vacation if you don't hurry up and get there. But you know what he'd always do? He'd always take a route that he thought was best, that ended up not being any good at all. And if he'd have followed the map, he'd have got there a whole lot quicker. And can I say this? I promise you that God's already got it mapped out. God's got a plan for our life. God knows what He wants to do with our life. And we've got to be willing to follow God's plan and go where God wants us to go. Amen. Boy, in the years that I've tried to follow that plan, I haven't always understood what God was doing. But I do know this, whether it be the long way around or the short way around, God's still sovereign. God's still in control. And God knows what He's doing. Can I get an amen to that? Now tonight, for just a moment, I want to show you three things, and I'll be done tonight. I'm very aware you have a couple of preachers tonight, and one of my favorite in this country, and I'm excited that I get to hear him tonight. And so I want to be very quick in what I'm saying, but I want to say to you tonight some things I want you to get a hold of. Why did God lead them the direction that He did? Three little simple things tonight, right here in the context of the Word of God. First of all, God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Stay with me now. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You remember the story, how Moses goes before Pharaoh, and time again, Pharaoh says, I'm going to let you go. And you know the compromises that he offered. I'll let you go, but leave the children here. I'll let you go, but don't go far. I'll let you go this. I mean, he lied over and over again. And listen, the devil's still doing the same thing today. That's the way he operates. And he does not want us to go very far with God. Finally, the death angel passes through. Pharaoh's hit by the death angel with his family, and he lets the people of God go. And the Bible says they go out with a high hand. Now I realize that mean in the hand of God, but I believe there had to be a few of them leaving. Give me some help now. I think there had to be a few of them leaving going, hallelujah. Boy, I'm so glad to be out of the mud. I'm so glad to be out of the tar. I'm so glad to be out of the slavery of Egypt. And I don't know about you, when I got saved by the grace of God, I wasn't chewing bubble gum. I wasn't laughing at an altar. I was so glad God saved me and rescued me out of hell. I come out shouting the victory. And if I can help it, I'm not going to stop. Hallelujah. But see, the reason God led them the way He did, and by the way, God's path was to the Red Sea. And the reason God led them the way He did, God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. He knew, Brother Bride, that Pharaoh's heart still wasn't right. Now, if you picture Egypt just a moment as a picture of the world that God got us out of, we can look at Pharaoh as almost a devil that won't never let go of God's people. Now, I realize they're going to Canaan. I know that's not heaven. I know that's victory in the Lord Jesus. Thank God I'm glad I can dwell in Canaan on this earth. I'm going to a better place, but on this earth I can walk in victory. Amen. Some songs just weren't written too biblically. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I'm going to a place better than Canaan land. I'm going, hallelujah, to heaven. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more tears. Thank God, I'm glad I can live Canaan down here. But honey, it's heaven over there. Amen. Thank God for that. Now, don't you stay with me just a moment. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. See, once we get saved by the grace of God, the devil doesn't go, well, pull the tent stakes up. Pull it all in. We done lost them. I wish he did. Wouldn't that be good? I do. I wish when I got saved, the devil just said, that's the end of that. Lord, have mercy.
few Pastor Baptist Church, can I get a witness? I mean, Lord, have mercy. I promise you, hey, that when I got saved by the grace of God, I moved up on the most wanted list. I moved up on the devil's list. And hey, Pharaoh never let go of those people. He wanted them. And so he took off after them. But hey, God knew he'd do that. Y'all help me now. Got to be careful. I fall off of here. That's bad. I broke too many bones on motorcycles. Hey, Brother Craig, I broke way too many bones. Be going off of that. There's a day I'd have jumped. There's a day I'd have done it. Praise God. Too much. I got 9 screws and a plate about that long on my leg. Right? Nah, no way. Amen. Not going to do that, Brother Ledbetter. That's a long way. Hey, watch this now. God knew that the people of God were going to fight with Pharaoh again. He was going to come after them. So he didn't take them the way that's near. He took them the long way around. But stay with me just a minute. I want to show you something tonight. The Bible says, came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Here's what he said to Peter in Luke 22. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. In 1 Peter 5, Peter responded, under the inspiration of God, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know what tonight? You know why you got to follow God's plan in your life, God's leadership in your life? You know why you got to follow God's plan in your life? The reason you've got to do that is because God knows there's a devil on your trail. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, this crowd wants to jump on the television, and this crowd wants to jump up and down today and say, hey, we got the devil and blah, 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 and all of this. Let me tell you something right now. I learned a long time ago, I'm no match for him and myself. I'm no match for the devil. Friend, I promise you, you're not either, but I'm glad tonight. Greater is he, hallelujah, that's in me, than he that's in the world. And with God I can overcome him. You understand tonight? God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. Now, God knows the devil's going to come after you and I. God knows he is. Let me show you a second thing. God knew the strength of the Philistines. Say, preacher, what do you mean? God knew that Israel was not a people of war. They had been slaves. They'd never been in the battle. They had never fought the battle. And God knew that if they immediately leave out of Egypt and they immediately go against the Philistines, they're going to be slaughtered. They're going to be destroyed. They're not going to be ready. And he also knew, according to scripture I read, that they would turn back. I don't know, Brother Craig, if I should do it, but every new Christian gets saved, I sit down and I talk to them. And I tell them, look, I want you to understand, you're going to go through things in your life now that you're saved. You're going to have battles. You're going to have battles. And you're going to fight battles. And they're going to come. And I told him, I said, hey, understand that you've got to walk with God. I've done a series of almost 2 months on intercessory prayer and prayer in the secret place at our church, teaching people, hey, you can't wait to pray after the tragedy comes, after the trial comes, after the temptation comes. You gotta pray before you ever get there. You gotta have power before you ever get there. Get alone in the holy place and talk to God. You see, God led them the long way around. Because God knew the strength of the Philistines. God knows there are enemies that are stronger than we are. I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I'm a child of God. Yeah, you are. In steel and counsel in flesh. Be very careful when somebody goes through something and say, well, I wouldn't have handled it like that. Now, you be real careful. You might be surprised when you go through it how you would handle it. You might be surprised how quick your flesh would let you down. Friend, I'm going to tell you, every day, I thank God every day for letting me make it through another battle and another day. I thank God every day for every victory that God gives me in my life. But the victory's His. And the battle is the Lord's. God knew the strength of the Philistines. God said to us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I realize that chapter entails a lot of things, but I'm glad God put that in there. I think you got to live the rest of the chapter before that's going to really apply in your life. But I'm glad God said He would help you get through it. Now watch this. It's not always the short route or the route with the least opposition that's the best route. Oh, by the way, whether it's a short route or a long route, it's all going to the same place. Now, I'm not talking about salvation being any other part of Christ. You know that. But I'm talking about sometimes God lets us go and it's pretty smooth for a while. Other times God lets us go and, buddy, it's rough for a while. If you've ever been around from where I'm from, I live up between Hickory and Statesville, North Carolina. Beautiful, beautiful country. But Interstate 40 between Statesville and Hickory has got to be the sorriest slab of interstate. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, listen, you're riding down the road and it's like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all forgive me now, but I have motorcycles and I race on racetracks and I've been doing it for 20-some years and I got off a dirt bike because I broke so many bones and now I run sport bikes on a racetrack and drag my knee at about 130 miles an hour and enjoy a place like Road Atlanta and different tracks and enjoy that. And I carry them in a trailer called a toy hauler behind my truck. And it's okay if that thing's got a lot of weight in it. But if you got them motorcycles in the back and it's not a lot of weight, you're going down 40, I'm telling you, man. Hey, honestly, I could sing with a, what's that word y'all use about bread? What's that kind of, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, if I start saying something, it's just, but you know what? Watch this now. I was riding down the road the other week, I never thought about it. But Brother Craig, just as you get back to Iredell County, you get on down in our ways, get on past the truck stop, the road goes from concrete to asphalt. You know, I shout over the craziest thing. I get excited over the craziest things. And all that crowd right there, that crowd messed me up years ago. I'd have been all right. That crowd right there messed me up. Huh? Hey, but I'm telling you, hey, I was riding down the road. Can I move? Can I walk in? I can't jump. I was riding down the road. And when I was riding down the road the other day, I was on that thing. And all of a sudden, I hit the smooth point. I was in a truck and I went, whoop! Try to drink coffee doing that, Brother Joe. Try to drink coffee. I mean, buddy, you don't ever wear no good suit riding down the road to preach with a cup of coffee. Buddy, you'll have stains all over them pants. Huh? Make you find out you need more help in your spirituality by the time you spill about half a cup in your lap. Huh? Another day, preacher, I was riding out to hit that smooth section. I said, hallelujah. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, it's the kind of way it is, ain't it? He said, it can be real rough, but if you hold on, there's some smooth pavement coming. Hey, if you hold on, it'll get smoother. You know what I got to think about? Watch this. The bumpy road and the smooth road are going to the same place. Huh? Same place. Hey, whether it's bumpy or whether it was smooth, the ultimate destination is it's going to the same place, and God knew it, so God led them the long way around. And he said, preacher, if it's a longer way around, why would God be doing that? God gave me a verse for that. Here it is. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not. You know why God led them a long way around? Because He's got to have time to strengthen them. Got to have time to get them ready for the battle. Matter of fact, the first battle they fought, you remember that? Boy, God touched them. They won that battle. But what happened was, they got confident in their flesh. Huh? Matter of fact, they went back against the flesh. And they got beat up pretty good because they got confident in themselves. But can I tell you this? Ai was a bad place, but can I tell you this? First time he went in there, buddy, God had led him. God had took him around. God had got him ready. God had got him so ready that later on, a little boy with a slingshot took down the greatest Philistine, and God gave him victory in that battle. But listen, sometimes in our life we think, why is God taking me the long way? Why is God carrying me this route? Why have I got to go this way? And the whole time while we're not realizing it, God's strengthening us. He's helping us. He's giving us what we need so when we get to our battle. Oh, how many times, Pastor, have you had a member of church say this to you? Preacher, if this would have happened a year ago. Preacher, if this would have happened 2 years ago, I don't know if I could have made it. Preacher, I don't know if I could have made it if it had been 2 years ago. God led them around. Oh, by the way, He even led them to a wilderness. You know the story. How He fed them. How He watered them. How He took care of them. Say, preacher, what's happening the whole time? They're just getting strength. Long way around, just getting strength. We don't always understand them bumpy roads, but I'm telling you why them bumpy roads are there. God's just strengthening us and helping us and getting us ready for the battles of our life. Because you know what? If we'd have left right from Egypt, then we're straight into the battle. You know what God said? It's right there in the passage. God said if they'd went straight into it, He said they'd turn back. Matter of fact, Brother Job, did they not several times say to Moses, we've been better off? Can I say this to you? You'd have never got saved if you were better off in the world. You'd have never got in. God knew the strength of the Philistines. God knew the scheme of Pharaoh. I want to give you a third thing and I'm finished. Listen, God knew the struggle of the people. Say, preacher, what do you mean God knew the struggle of the people? God knew their flesh was weak. God knew they just got out of Egypt. God knew they hadn't grown enough. God knew what they'd do. God knew that they would struggle. It's the difference in Job going through what Job went through and someone weaker going through what they go through. Because God knew Job had been in the battle a while. Job had trusted God a while. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Job never heard the conversation in heaven. He never heard it. See, we get to read the whole story. Came a day in the life of Job. Well, in heaven, God and the devils had a conversation about Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job? But watch this. That conversation wasn't heard by Job. Job never heard it. Job's living for God, a righteous man. The Bible even says it. God said about Job. Then there came a day in the life of Job and the battle came. Long way around. God knew the struggle of the people. Here's what Jesus said. Talk about the long way around. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Spirit indeed is willing. The flesh is weak. I've been saved. I'm 44 years old. I'll be 45 next month. It's hard to believe, Brother Craig. 45. You look the same age. I'm looking older and you look good. Got to find out what y'all doing up in Mount Airy. You're looking good. And I want you to listen. You say staying off of dirt bikes. I want you to listen. I thought about this the other day. 44 years old. I got saved when I was 17. I didn't get saved in Independent Baptist Church. I didn't know what Independent Baptist Church was. I know what a standard was. I didn't know what a conviction was. Didn't know what old time music was until I got around that crowd. Brother Craig, that y'all used to be around so much. I didn't have no idea. Well, I still remember that first day. I will be indebted for the rest of my life for a preacher that gave me 5 minutes in a camp meeting. He let me come up and preach. Big camp. That thing was good, man. You talking about scared to death. I was shaking. I was shaking so bad. I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy. I got 5 minutes. Brother Craig Edwards walked over to me and hugged me and said, son, you did good. Amen. That helped me. Amen. And there I am now, 44 years old. This last year I traveled about 30 weeks throughout the year. And you know what I find now?
My flesh still struggles. Now you pray for us weaker brethren. I meet so many independent Baptists who want to sign their own Bibles. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a dying thing every day for me. I got up this morning and asked God to help me to do right. Before I can pray, God help my people to do right, God help me to do right. Lord, I struggle. I've been saved now since I was 1744. What was it like for somebody who just left Egypt? I want to give you this. We had a boy in our church, a man in our church. His son dealt drugs, was involved in drugs. Now this man wasn't in our church at the time, but dealt drugs. The son lived in the daddy's house. Somebody tipped off drug enforcement that there were drugs in the house. And when they come to get the drugs and arrest, the father of this son took the rap for his son. And his son didn't even say it was his. The daddy went to prison. The dad was already an alcoholic, already drank a lot. Was a guitar player, singer, and he sung in a lot of different bars at Myrtle Beach. And he's lost, and so he went to prison. His sisters been coming to our church now for a few years. And his niece and her husband have all got in Calvary with us. And one day they asked me, they said, "Preacher, Randy's getting out of prison." He said, "He's going to be at my sister's house." And said, "Would you go by and see him with me?" I said, "You know, sure, I'd love to." They said, "No, preacher, we're not even sure that he'll even talk to you. But he is at his sister's house, so you can get in." We get there, Darryl and I do. We knock on the door, knock on the door, knock on the door. He won't open the door. He's in the bedroom, pajamas, won't even come in. Darryl said, "Well, I can get in." So we go in, kept hollering, "Randy, come on here and talk to us." He just wouldn't come out of that room. Finally, after he realized we weren't going to give up, he came out and sat on the couch. Never met me in his life. I didn't look at him and say, "You ought to be ashamed that you don't drink," or "You ought to be ashamed you've been in prison." I just looked at him, told him who it was. And I began to talk to him. And finally, he began to open up a little bit. He got a little tender. And I could tell that people had been praying for him because you could sense the conviction in his heart. Make a long story short, I said, "Brother Randy," at the end of it, I said, "Brother Randy, let me ask you a question. You know, you realize you're a sinner. You realize that what you've done, you're not going to go to hell because of what you've done, but you're going to go to hell because of what you are." And I think we need to tell people that. We're not going to hell because of what we've done. We're going to hell because of what we are if we don't get saved. And I said, "Brother Randy, wouldn't you like to get saved and get rid of this that you are, what you are, and give your life to Christ?" And make a long story short, it wasn't long. He knelt down beside of that couch. Gave his life to Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I've been with a lot of people who got saved. When he got saved, you could feel the glory in that. I mean, you could tell God just hovered over that man. He's got a daughter involved in all kind of mess in the world. Got a son involved in all kind of mess in the world. His other boy that didn't even tell the story about his daddy involved in all kind of mess. "Brother Randy, get saved." And I said, "Now, Brother Randy, we want to disciple you. You need to get in church. You got to get in church." I'm talking about now God's people struggling. I said, "Leaving Egypt. Preacher, I want to go." I said, "Well, look, Sunday morning, Miss Pam is going to bring you. You come to church." Sure enough, he came. Came Sunday night. Came Wednesday night. Came next Sunday, and he said, "Preacher, since I got saved, I want to join the church." I said, "Brother Randy, you got saved, I'll get you baptized. You have every right to join the church. I love you." And sure enough, he got in, got baptized, joined the church. A few weeks later, he missed a Sunday night. Then he missed the next Sunday, and his sister came to me. She was crying. She said, "Preacher, pray for Randy, pray for Randy." She said, "Some of those fellas he used to hang out with have been coming by, and preacher, he's struggling." You know what someone said? "Well, I'll tell you what, he must have not really got saved then. If he'd have really got saved, that would never bother him." That's a lie from hell, friend. I told her, I said, "You pray for him." I said, "I'm going to call him." I called him. I said, "Brother Ray, what's going on?" "Preacher, I tried so hard, preacher, I failed. I said something to him that blew his mind. I said, Brother Randy, I failed too. He said, do what? I said, yeah. I said, Brother Randy, I failed too. I said, Brother Randy, you can't quit. You're going to fail again. God's going to deliver you. God's going to help you. God's convicted. He said, Preacher, I'm so miserable. I said, that's a good sign. I said, Randy, I'm glad you're miserable. I said, Brother Randy, I love you, but I've been praying you'd be miserable. Make a long story short, Brother Craig. Sunday night, I baptized his daughter that was out in the world messing with all kind of dope. Baptized his son in the same night last night.
Amen.
His other son sits right there on the pew now with daddy. They fill up a pew back there with their family. Drunk, out of jail, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, he had a work last week, and his daughter and son, didn't he miss a night of jubilee, came on the roll. She didn't even have a dress in the world, didn't even know what to do to go to church. One of our ladies went out, bought her some clothes, and bought her a nice dress. She was baptized last night, looked like a beautiful young lady walking in that building, saved by the grace of God. Say, Preacher, why do you say all that? Because if God hadn't have been directing Randy's path, because the very first battle that Randy was going to face was a big one. God knew what the struggle would be. Now there's some of you in this building tonight. We just had our Jubilee, Brother Craig. And I know you do those and have those at your church. And Preacher, I appreciate you having it for your people. Here's what I tell my folk when I had Jubilee like last week. I said, I'm bringing men of God in this building and people to sing to encourage you. They're not here to beat you up. They're not here to even, and I don't take this wrong, but to get you revived. I mean, I understand revival. We believe in it. But I said, this week I set aside, because I know a lot of you have been fighting the fight. A lot of you have been going through the battles, losing jobs, financial situation. A lot of you going through hardships. And I said, this week I want you to come in and just get some help. Just get some encouragement. I've learned as I travel, the more I go, I realize how many people in God's houses are hurting, man. Struggling. And I'm not talking about the backslidden fella. I'm talking about those who taught Sunday school, been in the choir, been faithful, love God. Here's the thing. God said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And I'm going to take you a long way around. Because if I let you go this way, Pharaoh's going to be on your heels. You're not going to get to see him lose in the Red Sea. How many times have you enjoyed seeing the devil lose? Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If I let you go on your own, first battle you get to, then Philistines going to stomp you. But if I can take you around a while and help you to get them wings and help you to fly with me and help you to do good with me, you'll be better. And then I know you struggle, but I'm going to give you strength. And so you know what? You come to Jubilee camp meeting this week. And the real joy of it all is, you might be going the long way around. Your road right now may be, but you know, just a few more miles. Now I'm about to get happy. Y'all help me. Y'all don't know me well, so I'm trying to be calm. Just a few more miles. It's going to smooth out.
Amen.
You see, that old ship's about to pull in the harbor, and all of us under rowers down there in the bottom, 2 Corinthians 4:1, all of us ministers have got under rowers down there in the bottom of the ship. One day, the captain of our salvation is going to say, boys, lay your oars down. We're going to pull into the harbor and put them oars down. The captain of our salvation is going to welcome us home. The journey's going to be over, and it's going to be done. But until then, I'll keep on singing, keep on preaching, keep on shouting to the glory of God. God bless you tonight.